Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Growing Consciousness with your hosts, Coach Thea and Dr. Chan. This is your growth and consciousness program where we discuss all things related to growing our consciousness and allowing our true selves to emerge. We invite you to call in and share with us the first Wednesday of every month at 1 p.m. so that we all can grow in consciousness.
Welcome to Growing Consciousness. I'm your host, Dr. Chan, and I'm here with my delightful co-host, Coach Thea. Thea Ray, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you, Dr. Chan. Hi, listeners, welcome back.
Yes, welcome, everyone. So today we're talking about family patterns, and not just family patterns, but changing family patterns. So do you feel that your family is trapped in a pattern of behavior, that your family keeps repeating the same mistake or unfruitful ways of engaging with each other over and over again? Is each generation of your family trapped in a cycle of reenacting a story from a previous generation? How do we break the cycle? How do we create new ways of being, interacting, and loving in our family? Well, Coach Thea and I have a delightful guest with us today. We have Alina Apostol. Alina is a psychologist and astrologer who lives and works in Kingston, Jamaica. She's originally from Romania, and she is certified in clinical hypnosis and family therapy. Alina is also studying for a master's degree in cultural astronomy and astrology with Wales University, the only academic program in the world that looks into astrology and cosmology. Alina has a counseling and psychotherapy private practice in Kingston, Jamaica, working with all types of symptoms from addiction, depression, anxiety, and her specialty, which is family trauma. Alina also facilitates monthly workshops on the topic of family and relationship dynamics. Alina, we want to welcome you to the Growing Consciousness Show. Welcome, Alina. How are you?
Hi, I'm very good. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here today with you and your listeners. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Alina. So, Alina, I mean, you know, we have such a short period of time and we have so many things that we would love to discuss with you. But, I mean, in terms of family patterns, there are some families that have a pattern of teenage pregnancy, violence, crime, addiction, whether it's addiction to alcohol, drugs, gambling, whatever it is. But what types of family patterns have you seen mostly in your work or in your practice? Are there any that really stand out to you or any that are quite common?
Yes, and you described a lot of symptoms that I would see in my work. I call them symptoms because that's what we know, that something is going, you know, wrong. But the pattern itself or the dynamic that I see underneath the symptom of addiction, for example, it's a pattern of blind love, to use a metaphor, or a twisted way of expressing love in families. And I'll go into it. Addiction doesn't, let's use addiction as an example. Addiction doesn't just happen. It has, you know, it has a context in which it appears. And working in therapy with clients or even families, you start recognizing that the pattern is a lack of flow of love. So instead of the love in the family, instead of it flows naturally from mother to child, and this just think about many generations, not just this present family that comes to therapy, but many generations. So the flow, the natural flow of love comes from mother to her child. The mother cannot offer this natural flow of love unless she received it. But because I work with transgenerational trauma and with, like you said, patterns that are repeated by generation and generation, the work in itself reveals the fact that there is a problem with this flow of love. So that's why we choose to express our need to be loved, to be seen, to be accepted through different symptoms. When someone has depression, it is a cry for help, even though the person may be very disconnected from anything that is outside or from any family member. But it is in itself a cry for help. When someone goes and becomes manic or does something wrong, drugs, guns, or anything else, or violence, it is a cry for help. It is a cry for, I am here, I want to be seen, I want to be loved, I want to be accepted, but I don't know how to express this in a very healthy way. Why? Because somehow we don't learn the healthy way in our families. And this is not, I'm not trying to blame someone here, I'm just pointing out the fact that different things happen within families, and we do not realize what we are doing. For example, a mother who did not access her mother's love may not be so open in offering love in a balanced way. She may either suffocate the child, mm-hmm. or she may be disconnected from the child. So you see, those things happen when you know, if I look at a patient, the child is very, very small. If the patient is the child or had been a child and now is a grown-up, is an adult with some problems. The root of the problem, the way I call it, is in a territory that is not accessible anymore. Mm-hmm. Because it's not accessible to work directly with something that happened in early childhood. And when I go and do family constellation in my workshop, or when I have them in private practice with my clients, we go back generations and we realize that the problem doesn't even, it doesn't start when the client was 2 years old or one, or even, you know, before that, when the birth happened, but actually before birth, because, you know, there is this pattern of unavailability that comes from generation to generation. And you said, mm-hmm. how can we stop, or what can we do about this? Mm-hmm. The way I call it, like peeling an onion. You have a problem, you have a symptom. We'll use an example of a husband who is very aggressive with his wife. And he knows that his dad was aggressive with his mom. So we have this thing, and the children learn this. The violence, they see the violence in the family, and they learn this violence. They may not copy it, they may reject it, but they still, it is a way of learning to relate through violence. So let's use this example. If we work with what I call the method of family constellation, and we look at generational, what happened during, you know, with the parents of this person, what happened with the grandparents, we may find out that different traumas took place, or 2-3 generations ago, a trauma took place. And someone, for example, was killed, and his death or her death was not recognized, or was not mourned, or, you know, had been forgotten by the other members of the family or small community. Somehow that trauma wants to have a place in the family system. I need to mention this as a bracket. There is a family system in terms of energy. We the term ancestors. It's a very real term in my work, and this is not an intellectual construct. It's actually a felt thing that we go through, me and my clients, when we work. Mm-hmm. The connection with the parents, the connection with the grandparents, with uncles, were, you know, close family members that meant something in our family. The more I live in Jamaica, the more I learn to work with extended families, which is very different to my country. So,
yes, because in the Caribbean, we have so many people, our extended family is there in our everyday lives. We live with our parents, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents, and they are very much integrated into everyday life in the Caribbean. Yes.
Yes. So going back to the work, we find this trauma in the family system, and this can mean everything, from a crime, a rape, or anything. And it is in the family system, not because it has been done by a family member, but because, you know, whoever the perpetrator is or the aggressor is, that person is part of our family. So it will be a part of the system. If that trauma is not recognized, if it is not seen and learned to be accepted, it happens what we call in this type of work, someone else will take on that energy. Someone else from a future generation will take on that energy, because the energy in itself stays there and it's not acknowledged. So that's why 2 generations after the crime happened, someone, let's say this man that I use as an example, is identified with the energy of the aggressor. And he may choose to marry the energy of the victim, because that's the second part of the story, the way we build our relationship, which is very much embedded in the way, embedded in the things we carry with us, the baggage we carry with us from our family system.
So, Alina.
Therefore, yeah.
Alina, let me ask you before you move forward. Or maybe you will cover this when you continue. But as you're speaking, I'm just wondering, how can we identify that pattern or that origin of that energy that you're talking about? Because if I, for example, if I don't know my grandparents, if I don't know my mother, I don't know my family. I'm adopted. I just don't know my family history. How do we begin to start to identify? Or even if we have our relatives around, but, you know, we don't speak about, we don't know what our parents, some of us don't know what our parents' life story is. We don't know what our grandparents' life story is. How do we begin to identify what those possible patterns or that possible energy could be without being, you know, offensive or you know, causing, I don't know, harm or destruction or hurt to those who we love and we care about? What do we do, Alina?
Well, the work in itself does not happen in the family. So we don't go to the Sunday dinner and start talking about the fact that, you know, my violence could be related to someone, something that I've seen happening with my dad. Not at all. First of all, I'm talking about cases that I work with in therapy. So the client, so the person, has to have, you know, has to have an interest in understanding what the symptom means. So, you know, there are people who live with their problems, and that's fine. Nobody, I'm not an advocate of health as imposing health imbalance. If someone is happy to live with the depression or with any other thing and it's functional, then I would not take that away, because I know how hard it is to build something instead of that. But the person who would become aware of the fact that he or she wants change and wants to break a pattern, and they follow therapy or they read about it, then, you know, there are stages when you understand if this is a pattern or if this is something triggered by someone that is doing something to you. And if this is a pattern, then you must express that symptom in many relationships, not only love relationship, but, you know, sibling relationship, family relationship, love, business relationship. So if you have, you know, if there is a continuation of that behavior that you are expressing, then we know it's a problem. So then the next step is to understand how that pattern has been built. Not even the cause of it, because you know, rarely we find the cause for everything. And like I said, I do believe in a lot of trauma that happens prenatally or after birth. So even though we find out what happened, it doesn't help the adult. But what helps is the understanding that, you know, a person who comes to therapy at 35 or 45, they have been feeding a symptom or a pattern or a dynamic that is not healthy. So the way we grew a pattern in 30 years of living, well, the work starts to build something instead of that. So deconstruct the pattern and build something else. And that's the hard work. And that's why people say therapy does not work, because therapy doesn't need to have an insight. And it doesn't need to come to a therapist or do a family constellation workshop and find out that your uncle had been an aggressor and that's why you are expressing violence. It's not about that. It's how do you untangle from that aggression or depression or any other thing that you want to express. Because, our mind, our intellectual abilities, they do not help in these cases. They do not help. Right. Once a pattern is built, that it becomes unconscious and we express it like we would be driving the car. We drive the car, we are not aware of all the moves that we are doing. We just drive the car. It's something embedded in our unconscious or subconscious. It's the same with these patterns. When someone becomes aggressive, he doesn't think about that. He just, expresses an emotion that stays on years and years of building that. So awareness.
And can I just ask quickly, what are some of the ways that we can start to deconstruct these patterns in order to start building something new, start filling these gaps with new energies, new behaviors?
Yes. It's very important to understand the emotions that trigger the reaction, because everything is a reaction. Even when we are silent, it's a reaction to something. I do not blame that pattern. Sorry, I do not blame the behavior. So, if we talk about aggression, I am not blaming the fact that the person becomes violent, because violence is just a reaction and it is a defense towards, it's a defense, it's a wall that is protecting something. So then with the client, I identify what are the emotions that are triggering that defense, that behavior. Once we see what emotions trigger that and in what intensity, because fear may trigger it to 10, from 1 to 10, 10 being the worst. So a person may actually hit someone because of fear or because of humiliation or because of, what is the emotion that is triggering it? Then try to understand the emotion. When that emotion happens, is it linked with a family member? Like, most of the people I know from therapy will become angry with their mothers. You can be the most zen person on earth, and if you stay with your mom 2 or 3 hours, you will be triggered. So, we look what triggers that emotion, what happens, what are the circumstances of the emotion. And this means deconstructing. It's like peeling the onion. It's taking every layer out of it and trying to see what is going on. But this is not only done in the room, in the therapy room, because if it's done only then in the therapy room, it's only on the intellectual, the mind level. The client has to go home and do this every day, maybe hundreds during a day if that thing happens. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard at the beginning, in the first weeks. It's amazingly hard. But then it's like learning a new way of behaving. So you deconstruct the pattern, being extremely, extremely aware and having different tools, like breathing exercises when the symptom comes. I recommend different yoga poses that I can do in the evening just to relax and go through, their achievements during the day. Different books that may help. I tell my clients to read different books that go through the trauma of similar to the client, so they can understand that other people feel the same, or other people have done similar things to them, and and they had a story that, was behind that. So I try to deconstruct the pattern when I work with someone, moving away from blame and shame, which are very, very important, because blame and shame, they fix that pattern. It's like you are stuck in it because of the shame you feel. I cannot tell my husband something because I feel shame. And because I feel shame, I'm stuck in the pattern. So I repeat the same mistake, expressing vulnerability. That is a healthy way. But how can you express vulnerability if you feel, it's a shame, or I feel ashamed to say I'm jealous, or I feel ashamed to say I'm, honey, don't go, don't stay late at work because I feel I'm not seeing where I feel. And those small emotions, those small things that many people just ignore, will transform themselves in a fight, in violence, and this is this is being transmitted and transmitted, done every day. Our children see this. It's like we live in this prison only because we cannot see where we don't want to see the emotions that are underneath it. And when the pattern becomes the behavior. Yeah, please say.
Go ahead. So I just wanted to, you mentioned a little earlier on family constellations, and you're talking about tools. Say I was asking about some of the tools, and you gave some of the breathing exercises and, really exploring these feelings that we have that are behind these patterns of behavior that we and maybe other family members are expressing. But I just wanted to go back to this whole idea of family constellations. I know we're quickly running out of time, but what is family constellations, and how does that help in terms of shifting or changing the family patterns that we ourselves may be acting out?
This is actually the biggest tool that I use, and it has the greatest effect because it is a therapy in itself. Family constellation uses the energy within the family system to unlock secrets, if you want, or information that is not available. And I'll tell you a little bit about it to understand the process, because you did mention, you or Fia mentioned, that we don't have the information from our families, and I wanted to say that we do not need to have it. And this is not what I ask from my clients, to come with the information. I just tell them to come with their feelings, whatever you feel. Try to understand how you feel. And when we do family constellation, be it in a group setting with many people that are totally strangers and they don't know each other, or we do it in therapy in individual, me and the client, what I ask the client is to tell me, what's the purpose, what's the goal? For example, the goal can be, I want to find the partner because, I end up having different problems and I never end up with a partner, or I can't have children, or my child died and it was an accident and I don't know why. So they come with a problem, with a specific problem, or with a symptom like depression and anxiety and any other thing. And then if I know from the work with them that this is not a reaction to something from like an external thing that is triggering their reaction, and it's something that is linked with family patterns, then we use in a group setting representatives, people, to be different energies, to be the energy of the mother, to be the energy of the father, siblings, if there are any lost siblings, or anything that can point me towards the trauma. How this happens, how this happens in the group setting, there is no script. So I don't know if I will ask someone in the group to represent the mother, the father of the client, or anything else. I just feel it with the client. So it is a very experiential work. It has nothing intellectual in it. We resume the number of words we use. And then when we ask people to come, like, for example, we are doing a constellation right now, and I ask Dr. Chan to represent the mother of a client, you will come into, let's say, the setting, the group, imagine a room where you are, and then you will start feeling some things going on in your body. And I will look at you and I will know that you started feeling something, and I will ask you, Dr. Chan, what is it? And you will tell me, I have this pain in my back that I haven't, I didn't have it 2 seconds ago. And now I have it. And then the client will say, actually, my mom had this surgery and she had a pain problem for 20 years. Mm-hmm. That is how the energy is moving. So it is unbelievable for someone who never experienced it, because, people can't believe something that it's not that pinned down. You don't have a physical form for it. But every person who comes and experiences it, because people share very intimate things, not that somebody raped someone, but intimate in the sense of this thing that you feel in your body is linked with something that the parent or the relative actually went through, you know? Mm-hmm. And because it's profound and so deep, when the representatives express things, and they always express things like love, not in the sense that I love you, but love that cannot be released through whatever reason, or, you know, pain, or when they express all these feelings in the group setting, the energy is so intense, and the client sees so clearly something that, is, although it's not expressed by his family or her family, is in a way, because those people that represent mother, father, and so on, they do come with the energy of the parents. So when the client sees this, the deconstruction or the, you know, the space, the healing space comes, is allowed to exist. And when I say space, I literally say it in the sense of everyone in the room feels there is more space and feels there is more light in the breath and the way, you know, the way we feel in the room. Something has been cleared only because we could see it. So, you know, we could see it without wanting, without knowing what we see. Nobody tells those people to say the words they do. That thing happens. You know, if you, Dr. Chan, would represent someone's mom, you would start saying some things in relation to whatever you feel in the room. And, you know, you would tell me, why did I say that? And I would tell you, because the field, the energy of the family system of the client asks you to do that. How this happens, I have no idea. You will not know, and nobody knows, you know. But this happens.
That's amazing.
And that is healing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Divine
consciousness, basically, which exists, you know, amidst and between all of us. It just takes shape. It sounds like during a, you know, family constellation.
So, Alina, we only have about 2 more minutes. So would you be able to just, you know, say to anybody who is listening in who may not know where to start in terms of the healing of family patterns and, as you said, doing their own personal work towards that journey, do you have anything that you would like to share, as well as share with us how people could get in touch with you if they would like to do some more work with you? Could you just tell us, I know, you know, 2 minutes is hard to summarize, you know, where to start, but could you just tell us, you know, where we could start if we're thinking of, okay, how do we begin to heal, how do we begin to shift this energy to change our family patterns, starting with us?
Okay, what I feel is very useful is a journal, and everyone should be so aware of their own behaviors and patterns, and that is not accessible to all of us. We don't, you know, we are not born with this knowing. So having a journal and writing down what triggers our behaviors is a very good first step. Then moving away from feeling shame or judgment towards ourselves. That's a little bit harder to do and requires more time. But if we do not do that, we can't have the clarity to work on our problems.
And how can we contact you and Alina if we want to get some more information on how to work on these things?
I work in Kingston, and people call me, and my number is 569-3118.
And your website? And your website is?
And my website is www.alinaapostol.com. My name, alinaapostol.com. And usually my workshops are at AFIA, and I advertise them on Facebook. So if, you know, if someone searches on Facebook my name, or on AFIA Yoga Center, which is here in Kingston, they'll find my posters, and they know how to reach me if they don't have my phone number. on my website.
Wonderful. Alina, we wish we had so much more time with you. This is amazing stuff, very informative.
Yeah.
And we thank you so much for joining us on Growing Consciousness. I'm Dr. Chan. I have Sarah Ray, my co-host, here with me, and our time has run out. So we're going to see you again next month at the same time right here on Growing Consciousness. Thank you so much for joining
thank
us today
so
on Family Matters.
Thank you for having me. It was
absolutely
a pleasure.
Thank
you.
Thanks for joining Coach Saya and Dr. Chan today on Growing Consciousness. Join us the first Wednesday of next month for another insightful and informative discussion. Stay tuned and keep growing in consciousness.